College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
What did you think of this exchange with Matt LaFleur about Ben Johnson?
Do you have beef with Coach Johnson?
I was waiting for this. I don't know Ben Johnson.
So do you have beef?
Do I have beef? I don't know Ben Johnson. I respect him as a football coach. I thought it was interesting.
What was interesting?
I thought the press conference was interesting.
I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Well, I think it's healthy for the rivalry. I do enjoy the back and forth between the two head coaches.
Get a good football coach, as he said himself, than Ben Johnson.
I'm not into this Bears-Packers rivalry because to me it's not a rivalry. It's been a dominance, and until the Bears push it back and take it back.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
And if they do that, then I'm on board with the rivalry.
What's your beef?
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Hey, where's the beef?
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I did get a note from someone. Chicago Popes 1, Green Bay Pope 0.
Morning, Molly.
So
happy
there's
Monday.
A rivalry, buddy.
That is making the rounds. Yes, the Pope pride train continues.
Let's get on that one.
Yeah, well, they don't have a Pope from Green Bay.
No.
They'll never have a Pope from Green Bay. Pope Leo's going to live long and prosper. And more papal pride over the weekend as the Sox won 2 out of 3.
Yeah, how
Sox,
about that?
In terms of series, they're 1-0 since Pope Leo, Sox fan.
Since we saw the guy at the World Series.
Since he was named.
There you go.
Since he was elected in this puffs of smoke. Yeah, since we knew he was a Sox fan. Big weekend for the Sox. Not so much for the Cubs. They could use a little divine intervention about now. They could use a little bit of a breather in the schedule, more like it.
I was watching the Marquee Network. Didn't have a lot of reason to watch it over the weekend because, of course, the Cubs were playing a lot of nationally televised games.
Roku.
But it was interesting because I was watching it just to see the post game, and there, you know, they got the little thing underneath it, a crawl.
The crawl, yeah.
And so there was a note that said, newly elected Pope is a local baseball fan. They've changed it from.
Is that what they had?
Said so a local baseball
fan. They're leaning into it as well.
What, wasn't that funny?
That like is very funny.
Because they had written that he was a Cubs fan, and then they never really corrected it. And then they just called him a local baseball fan. So that's pretty cool.
They are leaning into it, and it was funny to hear all the players asked about it, all the managers asked about it. Craig Counsell was on Friday. We had fun with that on Saturday morning inside the clubhouse. We'll find that audio because he was basically he was pointing out that the Pope might have gone to Villanova because he couldn't get into Notre Dame.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say something about the Pope.
No. I'm happy to answer Pope questions. Feel like that's what I'm here for. As a Catholic, it's my responsibility to answer Pope questions.
Where were you when you found out the White Sox fan?
That's a great question. I was, I think the Pope should be focusing on the Bulls because they got the lottery and the first pick in the lottery and getting Cooper Flagg is what the Pope should focus on for Chicago sports fans.
Would you accept him back into the Cubs fandom if he was pursuing it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I mean, fandom is a lot of times a family issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta. It's a family, and it sounds like he has some divided loyalties in his family, even. So I understand.
Does it rattle your faith at all, knowing that the Pope is a white-sized
man? The funniest thing I saw in that actually is that. He went to Villanova, and so that means that maybe Notre Dame did not let him in the university, and that we did not let the future Pope into the university.
So that stings. That stings most.
Not a good look. Not a good look.
In your own backyard.
That's a possibility. It's a possibility you have to acknowledge.
Yeah. Where did Mike Trout go in the draft? He didn't go long.
Yeah, exactly. It happens.
Craig Counsell.
Shading the Pope.
He'll be here. Wow. He was performing in New York all weekend, Two Drink Minimum.
That's pretty funny.
You don't expect him to be the guy telling jokes.
I did see that stuff, though. I did see, like, nerd him, let him get out of the backyard, kind of what I was saying.
How did
about
that happen?
Loyola. I don't know. I mean, you should. If you're a Catholic university, try to get all future popes.
That was funny with Counsell. That was when he was probably in a very good mood, and then they played more baseball, and they lose 2 out of 3 to the Mets, and not a good week for the Cubs overall.
Is Villanova Augustinian? Maybe that's how it happened. I don't know that. I don't know one way or another. I'm just wondering.
Oh, in terms of
the order,
allure or appeal or the fit.
No, he was a seminarian in an Augustinian seminary.
Could that have been part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You would know more about that distinction than most of us.
Well, I mean, it's just there are different.
You are the one person here who has, you know,
been to a seminary?
Attended a seminary, yes. Yes.
That was pretty funny. Did you see Saturday Night Live? They had a thing where Donald Trump was saying that he didn't like the Catholic Mass because the holy water burns. That was pretty funny.
They had some fun. It's
been
tremendous
fun
fodder.
It. Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun, and it will continue to be. And the Sox won the series this weekend.
Yeah.
The Cubs lose one.
Yeah, that's not good. But I think we thought they'd win a game. I recall,
I thought they'd win two.
Did you? Because I thought when we made our predictions.
I said 2 out of 3 they would win.
Oh, did you? I thought they'd win one.
Disappointing.
It was disappointing.
4 out of 5, they're struggling a little bit offensively.
Yes.
The starting pitching is – Matthew Boyd was terrific yesterday, but the bullpen – different guy picks a day to disappoint, and yesterday it was Porter Hodge.
It's like they're using a lot of different pitchers.
They are.
For the course of the year.
In different roles.
They're using tons of different pitchers.
There's trial and error.
Yeah. I wonder how many different pitchers they've used thus far, because it seems like a lot.
We could find out that.
But, yeah, it's
and,
probably
and
not.
I wonder if it's a comparison or a contrast with last year's approach. This is the time of year where you do that. Guys are still trying to define roles. Ryan Pressly, we saw him in the 6th inning. Porter Hodge, we saw him in the 8th and the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very haphazard way of approaching it for a team that's still in first place, clinging perilously to that first place position. Look at the Cardinals. One game back. They're hot. They're
that's, 8. How, they, how, where did that come 10. From? Where did that come from?
They have
Did they sneak up without me noticing?
It's been a good week for Cardinals.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I don't know how they did that. I thought they were done. I thought they had no pitching. I thought they have. You know, I thought Arenado was cooked, and here they are. They're not going away. The Brewers, you know, they're never going away. The Reds have settled down a little bit, but the Cubs are going to have to get back and play consistently. The schedule will agree with them now. They play the Marlins for 3 starting tonight, right here on the score. Then they have the White Sox, and then the Marlins again. So that is an invitation for a winning streak. So they better start winning. And they better start.
Well, I think they will.
They will.
Did not look like a very good team, the Marlins, over the weekend. They lost 2 games to the White Sox, who have been losing games like mad, although not quite as many as Dustin seems to think. So.
they lost 2 to the White Sox with their ace on the mound on Sunday. Sandy Alcantara. Yeah.
Future Cub.
Future Cub, Sandy Alcantara. He gave up the home run, the big homer to Big Tim Elko What's his nickname? What's Big Tim's nickname going to be?
I don't know. I hear a lot of people talking about elk season. I don't know that I like that.
It doesn't quite ring. It doesn't quite sound smooth.
No.
You need something. Timber Tim Elko?
Let's let him get used to being here.
He's got some heavy lumber there, Molly.
Listen, I noticed on Saturday, I thought he was going to get a hit on Saturday.
Timber Tim?
Yeah. He drove one up the middle that was just a really good play by the...
He should have had a hit there. He
had another kind of seeing eye blooper that was a good play was made and he didn't get a hit. So, he was 0 for 3, as was the whole team, but he wasn't... he didn't get the hit. So then when he finally got the hit, it was a 3-run homer, which is exactly what the run-challenged White Sox need.
They definitely...
It just underscored...
They need his bat.
How they needed thunder. They need some thunder.
They need his bat. I'm glad they called him up. We can stop thunder clamoring
Tim.
For that.
Thunder Tim.
Timber Tim.
Yeah.
I don't know. It goes better. Timber Elko.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you say when you chop down a tree with the big lumber.
You say
the big axe.
Timber Elko?
No, you say timber.
Oh.
Right? Have you ever chopped down a tree?
I have never successfully chopped down a tree.
Never chopped down a tree?
No. Have you?
Yes.
Okay, well, if I chopped down a tree, I'd probably be arrested. I don't think you're allowed to just cut down a tree and ride in the woods.
If you have a tree that's overhanging your fence in the woods behind your house, you would take an axe and you would chop it down.
Yeah, never had that experience.
Yeah, I've had. It's very satisfying.
I bet it is.
Very satisfying experience.
Did you yell timber?
I don't think I did. Next time I will, and I'll think of Tim Elko.
So you only chopped down the one tree.
Over the years, I've handled an axe.
You're sitting here bragging about you've cut one more tree than I have.
I'm not bragging.
And I'm from the concrete jungle.
I'm thinking over the years, I've cut down more than one tree. I've handled an axe. It's one thing you do when you grow up in rural Indiana.
I've handled an axe too, and it has nothing to do with rural Indiana.
See, 309, big timber.
Guy mouthed off.
Wow.
What?
Trying not to bring that up. I'm trying to let you get past that one. Oh, boy. But, yeah, the Cubs and the Sox got some big hits, and then the Cubs could use some
hits. I mean, I kind of felt like it was a bad position, just the series. It was just, the Mets are kind of doing better than you think. They got a better record than the Cubs.
The Mets are a first-place team.
Yes.
But so are the Cubs.
Right.
And –
by a game. How did that happen?
They won the Cade Horton game.
Yeah, they did.
That was good, even though I do still think, and we can talk about it, I still do not understand
why he didn't start.
I do not buy the explanation. I know they bypassed the first three hitters, but...
But he didn't go deep. He went four innings.
77 pitches, which is what we thought.
Right.
Gave up a home run.
3-run homer.
I guess that'll happen. I was listening to Coombe for direction and guidance, and he put it in a good perspective. That's going to happen, even though I felt like there was a lot of exaggeration about how good Cade Horton was, even though he gave up that 3-run homer.
Right.
Because he still gave up a 3-run homer. But I still think you're pleased because he looked the part. He was unfazed. And when he struck out Juan Soto on that changeup,
right,
and then you find out later he shook off Amaya, and he went to his changeup in that situation, you're like, okay, he's got the moxie and he's got the mentality of an ace. And you love that. You love it.
Yeah, he will get there. I think he looked like a guy that has a promising future.
He's here.
He looks like we'll see. I mean, I don't know how long. You know, if he runs afoul of some issues, then maybe he won't be here. Like I said, I think they're going through a lot of pitchers. He looks like a keeper.
He looks like a keeper, and I think the next two starts come against likely the White Sox and the Marlins.
Right.
It's an opportunity to be a guy, a shutdown guy.
Right.
What's his nickname? Kid K? Kid Cade? Well, I don't know. What is?
I don't know why we're in such a damn fire hurry to give out nicknames.
They're new guys on the scene. There are two debuts over the weekend. It's new stuff.
I'm surprised you didn't say Elker, given your hockey love.
Elkie doesn't sound right. No, I don't.
Hardy and Elker.
No, I don't think so. That doesn't sound right.
I always like when hockey players like Kaner, you get a longer nickname than your name.
I love that about hockey.
I do too.
It's one of many things I love about hockey.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you brought up hockey. Boy, was that great last night.
Yeah, Mika, it was really good stuff.
Still on fire.
He's like the only guy who scores for them. Did you see that? That was unbelievable.
He is on his tear. He's on a historic streak.
Yeah.
And the Stars win.
Tearing it up.
My Leafs lost. That series is evened up. That was a good game to watch.
Right.
And, good hockey.
Did you and Barkley share any condolences?
did not exchange hockey thoughts with Charles Barkley, nor did I look at how about the NBA playoffs?
NBA playoffs, very
Pacers
interesting.
Pacers are tough.
Yeah, the Pacers, boy, that was a huge win for them. What did they win by, like 140 20. Points or something?
20.
They were up 40 at one point.
It was not competitive. They took it to him. And the Cavs are now injured. I think Donovan Mitchell has
Donovan
a little
Mitchell.
Calf for an ankle.
Yeah.
They're one loss away from
left ankle. Yeah.
I remember how good the regular season was. Wasn't that long ago.
No.
I'm thinking they were unbeatable. What happened to them? Brandon, what happened to the Cavs?
Yeah, that's what happens in the NBA. When
injuries?
You're a young team in the NBA, you're not quite ready to graduate yet. That's all.
Injuries and bad luck. That's pretty much it. Garland, Mobley, now Mitchell. I mean, those are your three best players right there.
Pacers are good, too. Since January, the Pacers are one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. I think the record over the final 57 games is 41-16.
Tonight's really big in the NBA.
Oh, it's big.
Because the Celtics did manage to hold on to a 20-point lead. And they took care of the Knicks, and now they've got them again in New York tonight. And that is a team that, think about it. They can either tie the series or be on the brink of elimination. And then you look at the Warriors at the Timberwolves, and the Wolves are leading 2-1, and the Warriors still don't have Steph Curry back.
Steph's still out. That obviously is going to hurt them as much as you'd think.
Right.
And the Knicks and the Celtics – great matchup tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And we've got the draft lottery tonight.
Well, that's a big deal in town.
That's the biggest thing.
That's the biggest thing in town, even though it's going to be much ado about nothing.
Yeah, see, I don't like that prediction.
I don't.
I wish you would just get on board with the 1.7.
That fascinates me, though. It fascinates me that you are irrational.
Oh, I'm irrational when it comes to stuff like this. I've seen it happen before. Things can happen.
It happened once before. No.
It's happened before.
It's happened once before.
What one
hashtag
man can do,
flag.
What one man can do, another man can do.
Okay, but are you really going to?
Oh, I'm not expecting it, but I am holding out hope for as long as I can. And when it doesn't happen, I will say, of course it wasn't going to happen.
Of course it wasn't going to happen.
But in the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, come on.
I would like to see them move up in the top 10 somehow.
No question.
Like mathematically, I know there's a lot of things that have to happen. It is remote. And they're set this pick 12th if nothing changes, correct?
That's right.
And it would be nice if they got into the top 10. Because then you would be in a position where you look at the way the board would fall. I know the guy, Derek Queen from Maryland, things could change between now and the draft, but he's likely to be gone after the top 10 picks. And if you're looking for an impact player and an impact big man like that, you'd like to be in a position to get one. After 10, don't really know. It's hard to know what this draft is going to look like. You got your top three, and then there's a drop-off.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd love to see him get in the top three. I mean, what are you doing settling for top 10? Like,
I am reading the numbers.
Oh, okay.
So if there was a 1.7% chance that it was going to rain today, I would not bring an umbrella.
And you would soak.
No, I would not.
Yeah, unlikely. But, I mean, it's fun. It's just a fun thing.
It's fun, I guess. Yeah. You're going to see Matas has facial expression when they get disappointed. He's going to be the guy representing the Bulls. It's an odd choice to represent the Bulls.
I still play the lottery, and I know that the odds are I'm not going to get there, but I try to do like Dustin does. When it gets over, 7 million, you take a shot at the local one.
That's when you jump in, yep.
And that's,
by the way, it is over 7 million. Right
yeah,
now.
I know.
It is?
I do monitor it. I'm just saying. I will go to the gas station, I will fill up, and I will grab a few lottery tickets. You know why?
Why?
Because I'd like to win the lottery.
Somebody's got a lotto, David. It might as well be you.
I know. It's just, it's so unlikely.
it doesn't matter. It's just the
fun
of it.
It's the fun of it. So tonight will be fun to watch the Bulls pick 11th. What's your prediction?
I'll go with Cooper Flagg. Let's go. Hashtag capture the flag.
Hashtag capture the flag.
Why not?
Is there a team that you would like to see him fall to?
The Bulls. I just said
okay.
it. More so than anything
don't
else.
Don't the Spurs have two picks in the top? Don't they have the highest chances of getting, of moving up perhaps? Can you imagine if the Spurs get the number one overall pick and you're looking at Wemby and Cooper Flagg for the next decade?
I think Wemby's got some issues. I don't expect him back.
You don't?
I thought we decided that he's got
he's coming
some,
back. No.
There's
no.
some
he's coming
blood
back.
That, flow
was only,
problems.
That was your imagination. No.
No, he's out. I mean,
he's not. He's coming back.
Did he play at the end of the year?
No, but he's coming back. He's going to come back.
Pop's not coming back, but Wemby's coming back.
Well, we don't know yet. Wemby is hopeful of coming back. And I'm not being negative. I like Wemby, and I hope he comes back. But he does have
an
issue.
He's going to be fine.
The Spurs could be major players, too. If they get a high pick, or I think just their picks alone, and with the capital that they got, the young players, they can trade and they can get a big name. So
Thank
you never
you.
Know.
I know. Giannis is talking about San Antonio. That rumor is probably hotter to him going to San Antonio than it is realistic him coming to the Bulls. So there's going to be, and as Craig Council said, maybe the Bulls need the Pope more than anything tonight to do his thing.
Well, I mean, who knows? Lucky things happen. Did you anticipate Derrick Rose coming to Chicago?
No, I was driving in my car, and I wasn't even watching the NBA lottery at the time, and got a call. And people were like, oh, they're going to get Derrick Rose. That meant I had to work that night. So I was not expecting that night for that to happen. That's what I remember about the NBA lottery that year. That was 2008.
I always keep an eye on that stuff. I just think it's fun. I mean, I honestly don't expect them to get the first pick in the draft. And I do expect they'll probably, it's conceivable they can move up a couple spots. But would I like to see him get? I would love to see him be in the.
Oh my gosh!
Top.
Okay, all right, I'll go
like
there.
I'd like to see him go about
if
7.
If the Bulls win the NBA lottery, tomorrow's show is going to be.
We got a lot of flag
full
talk
of enthusiasm.
You'll be wrapping yourself in the flag,
or anthem, and anthem.
Flag and anthem.
I already wrapped myself in flag and anthem.
We'll be wearing flag and anthem
as we are today.
Of course, we are wearing it today.
Yes, we are.
As we are pretty much every day.
Pretty much every day. And I'm very happy to wear this shirt today.
You know, what's funny is I just looked at your shirt, and that is a button-down shirt.
Yes, it is.
I have it as a golf shirt. I have the same pattern.
They make both, as you know.
Yeah, but isn't that funny that we have the same
both
shirt?
Both are very comfortable.
Slightly different. No, they're absolutely.
And I think I wore that, what you're wearing, over the weekend running.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, there you go.
So if you see us.
If you see, it's actually fairly
one of these
impressive.
Days we wear the same thing.
We do not. I have often seen you wearing a piece of clothing that I own, and somehow we don't wear it at the same time. It's really weird. I don't think we, tomorrow's going to be a disaster, but I don't think we have uniformed up.
No, we have not.
Since we've been getting flag and anthem, it just tells you.
It will happen tomorrow now.
We have a choice. Yeah, that's what I just.
You just jinxed it.
Yeah, I know I did. I know. But
and you just jinxed the draft lottery, too, because you spoke how much you want this to happen. So now it's not going to happen.
Well, of course it's not going to happen.
You totally
but
jinxed
it's fun
it.
To imagine.
You jinxed it.
The beauty of playing the lottery is that you can think to yourself, oh, man, if I did make that money, what would I do?
What's the most money you've ever won with a lottery ticket?
I've never really won a ton with the lottery, a few hundred bucks probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a 50 one time.
Oh. I've done better than you.
It was one of those Christmas
obviously
presents.
Playing more often.
Scratch offs.
Yeah.
Dustin, you have any lotteries?
200.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
pretty
really.
Good. But then you're like, boy, I was like a number away from winning 100,000.
So you guys are basically in the red in terms of spending versus winning.
No question.
Okay.
But it's I'm not playing to win. I'm playing to
play.
I want to have a horse in the race. That's
okay.
All.
That's good to know.
It's fun to imagine winning it.
Got a race this weekend, by the way.
Yes, we do. We've got a Preakness.
What's this weekend?
Are you
Preakness?
Are you
Preakness,
going
David.
To? Are you sitting?
Pucks
it
and
out?
Pony, Pucks and Ponies on Friday
David
with Eddie O.
David is protesting because Bill Mott ruined his. his chance at a
That's what
crown.
I'm doing.
Yeah.
that's my...
You and what's his name? Who's the...
And the PGA Championship is this weekend, David.
Oh, cannot wait.
Mad Dog is boycotting the race.
That's my guy.
And David.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Two of them have the same ideas. He is. He's boycotting it because he's really peeved. He thinks that it's bad for horse racing that the guy's not trying to pursue a Triple Crown.
I can see that. By the way, hey, we have Colston Loveland today.
Yeah, that is really
7:45, Colston Loveland, Bears' new tight end.
We should get him at 7:25, Dustin, for God's sake. But we can break early. Just don't have anyone good at 7:25. Oh, we got Biggs time. What are you doing? Should you talk to him about the show and how to put it together?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, we got to get to the pick six, all the big stories of the weekend. We'll have some fun with it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Any insight on how or why Kyle Tucker has suddenly gone off the boil? Can you believe that over the last 15, he's only hitting 190, slugging only 345? Can the team win consistently if he's not leading the way?
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. It does make sense. I mean, they are losing some games, and it coincides with him going into a little bit of a slump here. I think that when they were winning games, a lot of it was due to him. So I would think that he will start hitting better as some of the pitching that they're facing gets worse, and he'll be back and they'll be okay. I think they really need him, and we haven't heard as many people talk about getting that contract done, but certainly that was going on earlier in the season. And I think did I see that with the home run from PCA, he's now tied with Otani for home runs in the most recent streak he's been on. It's him and Otani.
PCA?
The two guys, yeah. PCA and Otani. Yeah. These two guys hitting the homers and doing it.
Good company to keep.
Since mid-April.
Yeah.
Yeah, PCA with 10 home runs. That's pretty surprising. But as far as Kyle Tucker, I mean, these numbers kind of jump off the page, but I don't think I felt that until really reading the question, because he did hit a home run, right? He hit a home run on Saturday in the game that they won. Is that right, if I remember correctly?
Maybe Friday night.
Was it Friday night in the loss? All right. Anyway, he did hit a home run recently. But, yes, you need him. He is going to be the number two hitter in the Cubs lineup all season long. And they did give him a night off, per se, right? He DH'd the other day, didn't play right field.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. And Saya had to play left field because of the injury to Ian Happ, and, you know, lineup Eastas. And then, you know, David finally got his wish, and PCA was up at the top for a couple of days. But that's going to be short-lived, according to Craig
Council.
He
shot that down fast.
Fast. Boy, did he shoot that down fast. But, yes, the Cubs absolutely positively need Kyle Tucker, who's hitting like it's spring training all over again.
He is, but I'm not worried, because I think that when you look at his track record, he'll go through a little bit of – everybody will go through little phases like this. And because, as you pointed out, Dustin, some of the hits that he's – the few hits that he has had lately have come in relatively big moments. He did homer against the Mets on Friday night. That was – it felt like a big moment. And the base hit that he had in the extra inning game – was him coming through when he needed to come through. He still goes to the plate with that kind of confidence. I do wonder this, not that this will continue, but is Craig Council going to tinker with his batting order at all? if guys struggle at times. Obviously, he shot down the idea that PCA leading off was going to be a thing because of Ian Happ missing two games and PCA keeping company with Ohtani. Probably should be at some point considered to be up higher in the lineup. Not gonna quibble. Not yet. They're still, despite the losing skid, despite a tough week in first place, and things are going fine. Struggled over the weekend, but it's fine. Not gonna overreact. At some point in time, though, if you have a guy who is that good, you don't want him batting seventh. I think that's just a given. So wait and see. Not worried about Kyle Tucker because we did worry about him in spring training, and that looked silly in retrospect. So I think that he's going to probably feast on Marlins, White Sox, Marlins pitching.
I understand the question.
The Cubs have now lost 4 of 5 games, including 2 series in a row after the weekend in New York. So have we overestimated how good they are? Or is this just a blip with a chance over the next 3 series against the Marlins and White Sox to get right back on track? What's your biggest concern?
Biggest concern is the bullpen as we sit here this morning. Felt decent about Porter Hodge Saturday night. Didn't feel so good this morning. Didn't feel good about Ryan Pressly seeing him in the 6th inning. Thought he was the closer, but he's not any longer. Who's what? What role do they have? I know it's only May 12th. You don't have to have these definitive answers to all of these tough questions, but that is the prevailing concern coming out of New York, returning home, getting ready for the Marlins. Who plays what role in the bullpen? That's number one. Number two, starting rotation. Matthew Boyd, this weekend, pitched as consistent as he has all season. Jameson Taillon did not have it Friday night.
Mm.
4 home runs, throwing batting practice. That was Juan Soto hit it to the moon. That thing landed in Brooklyn. And Jameson Taillon is the de facto ace of this staff? I don't know. Cade Horton, I liked what I saw. He's got to be here to stay. I like what I saw in 4 innings, Mr. Hold up your 4 fingers.
You can't call him the ace after 4 innings.
I didn't call it. No.
You said you like what you saw. J-Mo is not the ace.
I said J-Mo's not the ace of the staff. I didn't say Cade Horton's the ace of the staff. I did not say that. Play the tape. I liked what I saw from him.
You were talking about that. You immediately brought him up.
Don't put words in my mouth. He is the guy who I think should be here, but I don't think he's your ace. He's a future ace. He's got ace-like stuff, ace-like qualities. But I do think they need to add a starter at some point. The problem is the Cubs are in this limbo phase because we're not close enough to the trade deadline to expect real change from the outside. And you are in the midst of having to just grind it out. So you better grind out some victories and series victories over the next couple weeks.
Well, it's the bullpen for me and the old circle of trust. And, David, you talked about Saturday night, and it was like, wow, okay, this is what a closer does. And then Sunday afternoon, oh, wait, what? This is what a guy does when he's trying to hold on to a lead. So which Porter Hodge, which version is it? And then you could say, well, he's not ready to go back-to-back. Well, he's got to learn how to go back-to-back. That's going to be a thing, especially if you're going to get to Craig Tober, right? You got it. But also, they had 3 hits yesterday. And you just mentioned about the lineup and stuff. So again, I still see a place for Justin Turner on this team, but is a pinch hitter, like in the 9th or 8th, right? But like, why, because of an injury or something, you're giving somebody a day off, and you're deciding to have Justin Turner DH, I don't understand why he has to bat 4th or 5th. I don't understand why that's like, the DH bats 4th or 5th. Why? Why couldn't the DH bat 7th or 8th? That to me feels lazy or stubborn, whichever word you want to use. But the bullpen is an issue.
Yeah, I think that I think they're going through a rough period. I think Seiya is still the ace of the staff. I think that they probably need another starter, and they need to get him back. But I think that calendar turns, and so the next couple of series, they should be fine, and I wouldn't worry about it too much. But, yeah, no, it has not been a good stretched. You know, you love it when they're winning series, and they could have won a series and didn't, and then they ran into a series that they couldn't win. So that was pretty difficult, the series in New York. And, you know, it's just sort of you're going through a lot of different stuff and you're moving some people around, etc. You're not playing great baseball and you're playing a really good team. So I wouldn't read too much into it. It is strange, though, that the Cardinals got back into contention and playing. They've won 8 in a row. Wow. Who saw that coming? So that's not good. You want that to stop. Knock that off. But yeah, I think that the turn in the schedule buys them more time, and that's what it's about in baseball, just kind of putting series wins together and just seeing where you're at by the time the smoke clears.
What was the other part of that question?
Voice of John Heyman here at 9 o'clock with you guys. Cade Horton made his highly anticipated MLB debut on Saturday, coming in the second inning and striking out 5 in 4 innings. But he did give up a 3-run home run. How would you describe his impact overall, and do you think he'll ever see Iowa again this season?
You know, I don't know about him going back to Iowa again this season. I don't know. I don't have the ability to read the tea leaves on it, but I think that he looked really good. He looked the part. He came in and he pitched well, and you know, it's a pity he hung like one breaking ball, and that was the one that got that was the home run ball. Other than that, I thought he did a very good job, and it, you know, it was a little strange. The way, not only the way that that they used Brad Keller as an opener, but the way that Craig Counsell like said they were going to do that, and then almost dismissed what he was going to do with Cade Horton, and then, you know, like he didn't really want to talk about him as a guy they needed in that big moment. But guess what? They needed him in that big moment, and I thought he came through. And, you know, still has to build up some pitch count and some innings. And you'd like to see him go more than 4 innings. That's all. But he did very well.
Looked the part, threw more pitches than I thought. Ended up with 77. 49 of the 77 were for strikes. The home run is troublesome, but I did like the no walks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's something that in your major league debut in New York, forget even, you know, in your major league debut, you went 4 innings and you didn't walk anybody. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good. That's a pretty good way. And I don't think he sees Iowa again, and guess unless God forbid he gets hurt and he has to do some type of a rehab. But why wouldn't he slide into the Justin Steele space? Right, and maybe ends up Colin Ray potentially, who's been fantastic, over delivered. Maybe he becomes the circle of trust guy in the bullpen,
or maybe Ben Brown's that guy.
Maybe Ben Brown's that guy. Right. I'm saying
back into the bullpen
if he sticks, and assuming Shota only misses, let's say 3 starts, maybe 4, somebody's going to be the odd man out.
I like everything I saw from Cade Horton. 4 innings, 77 pitches, not having a walk, showed good command. He definitely has the confidence. And I think he succeeded despite the fact that I don't believe the Cubs put him in the best position to succeed. I think they branded him somewhat shaky and a rookie and reminded you of what he hasn't done by coddling him and bringing him in the second inning. This is a starter. This is a guy who's going to be a top-of-the-rotation starter. He's 23 years old. He's not fazed by the moment. The biggest inconvenience and the thing he had to manage was pregame traffic. And he was on a team bus that was delayed. And he got there too late, okay? So that was great to watch. And, yeah, he gave up that home run. And I'm not so sure about, you know, getting too carried away because he did give up a 3-run home run. They did have a lead and a cushion. But I also remember the changeup he threw Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And he was out in front of it. And he shook off Miguel Amaya. And this is a kid in his first major league appearance shaking off his catcher against one of the most feared hitters in baseball and striking him out. This Cade Horton should stay in Chicago with the Cubs, help this major league team win the division, go deep in October. It's only one appearance, not even one start. But you saw enough to be encouraged because of his past, because of his pedigree, and because of his potential. So I liked everything I saw from Cade Horton, with the exception of the home run, but I think he showed enough to stick around. And if we're talking, if I had to pick a lane and check a box on May 12th, I think he's here for the season.
And I know what your next question is. So go ahead.
Plenty of questions for our guy Bruce Levine. That's going to be at 8:25 this morning. What'd you make of the White Sox actually winning a series? Thanks in large part to Tim Elko's three-run home run and the 4-2 win on Sunday afternoon. Does it underscore the terrible mistake management made by delaying his promotion to a run-challenged team, or are you just happy he was there to perform? It was his first hit for the White Sox and seemed to enjoy a papal blessing on Friday with an unlikely flukish six-run output.
Friday was cool. And they're going to lean into the papal blessing. I love that. I love that. They didn't get the number of popes that were correct. They had 268. I think he's 267. But we'll forget that because all is forgiven, right?
Sure.
We're in this reconciliation period.
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was a nice moment on Friday with the scoreboard tribute and all those things, and the fans dressed up as a Pope. I was there for a while, saw some of those guys. That was hilarious. So hilarious. But what happened on Saturday should have happened probably a week ago. Big Timber was brought up from Charlotte, and I think that Tim Elko delivered on Sunday. Big Timber went deep just as we expected him to when he was in a Sox uniform. And I love the fact that he had the whole story on Mother's Day. His parents were there. He gave the bat and the ball to his mom. And not only that, but his home run was significant in this game. And they won the series. And Will Venable got ejected. Who knew he had a temper? But I love that he got...
He was protecting Marcus Thames.
I love that.
Who also got ejected.
Yeah, yeah, Marcus Thames was coming out of the dugout. Here comes Will Venable to protect him. Both those guys get tossed.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Sox win. So that's nice. Even though it was against the Marlins, it came against Alcantara, which is no small thing.
Right.
Former Cy Young Award winner. And I think that if we ask the same question about Big Timber, Tim Elko will probably be here for the rest of the season.
I think he will be here for the rest of the season. Why wouldn't he be? And it is a great point. Like, this should have at least been done in like the middle of April.
How many times have they lost in a shutout, right? I mean, that's the problem, Dustin.
Agreed. I mean, listen, he's here to stay, and hopefully like the pop will be a little something, right? It's starting to heat up around town. White Sox are on the road, but when they come back, you know, it might be 80s plus moving forward. The sun's going to be up till 8 o'clock at night moving forward. So spring is here, summer right around the corner. And, This could be a reason to, you know, as they like to say over there, turn on the fireworks.
Yeah, you know, I think that they are the next to last team in home runs in all of Major League Baseball. And that's kind of how that team in that bandbox park has scored runs in the past. And I think that you saw how it just feels like the Sox have to dive through so many flaming hoops and have so many things go their way, and someone needs to walk in a run, and somebody needs to in order for them to score six runs, it's virtually impossible given the way that this has to happen. So it was wonderful that they won a game on Friday, but I thought it was more wonderful that one swing of the bat delivers three runs and you win 4-2. That is kind of how we've seen this team be able to win over the years. And I think that to bring up a guy that was leading all your minor leagues in home run, they waited too long. It was great, but think about how many times they've been shut out or managed a run, you know, can't put together. This is a guy with the capability of the long ball, and it changes your team if you have someone that can do that. So congratulations to him. It was a great thing to see. It was really exciting. He's played two games and he's got one home run. So I was trying to do the math. I think he needs like 900 games, and he'll be able to catch Frank Thomas for the most home runs in Sox history.
I think that's a good, worthy goal.
It's ridiculous. But, I mean, if he can keep up that pace.
If he does, will you?
One every other game.
Will you then call him Big Timber?
If he does it that often, I'll call him Big Timber.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't want to call him Big Frank until he actually starts hitting them regularly. I just think you might be going a little too fast there, Hawkeroo.
Mercy.
Yeah. Next question.
What did you make of Bob Nightingale's report that the Mets are the latest team to check in on Luis Robert, and the White Sox want 23-year-old pitching prospect as part of the return? Doesn't this team need position players over pitching prospects? Shouldn't the White Sox be adding to that group?
Yeah. I mean, I when I saw they were looking, they wanted, there was some pitcher they were interested in. I was kind of like, what are you doing? Like, get yourself some people that can play the field, right? They got the draft coming up. MLB draft is not that far away. I saw one of the outlets had a mock draft. Don't they need a shortstop? I mean, do we know if the guy in Arizona is ever going to come back and be able to make the major league team? I just feel like they've got what? They've got, the other Montgomery. They got Teal, and they got, Paul Bunyan. And other than those three guys, who do they have coming up that is a position player? I don't get all these. I don't get all these names. I don't know that you can have a minor league system if you have three hitters. So, you know, they need more help. They need offense. They need guys that can play. They've got two left-handed pitchers, and they got another right-handed pitcher in Double A that are doing really well. So I'm not saying they're done with pitching, but at least they've got some prospects. The idea that you got three pitchers on the way and three hitters on the way seems like you might need more hitters.
Well, don't you need kind of everything and all of it? I mean, they don't have anything that they've got a really good, base. But I see where you're going with it, what you're saying. But, I mean, it wouldn't just be a straight swap for the 23-year-old pitcher. I think that's the name in the event of a trade with the Mets. That was the idea. They need everything.
Right-handed pitcher Blade Tidwell made his major league debut about a week ago against the Cardinals. He's a 12th-rated prospect in the system for the Mets, and he's somebody that has got some promise. He's 23. So he's got to be part of the package, maybe the lead name in the package, but he's somebody that I don't know if it's the best they can do. Maybe it is the best they can do. Luis Robert Jr. sat two games this weekend. What's wrong with him? I think the bigger question isn't what they're going to get in return. Is like, will they be able to trade him? Because, again, he's injured. What did we say before the season started? This is a bad idea. Holding on to him, the longer you hold on to him, the more likely he's going to be injured, because he's always injured.
Big Lou?
No. Who's Big Lou?
Big Lou. Luis Robert Jr.
Not you Big Lou.
He hit a home run
Lou
once.
Bob. Lou Bob.
He hit the home run.
My nickname for Luis Robert Jr. is Lou Bob. And Lou Bob is too often on the bench.
Big hurt.
Sitting. He's got too many big hurts. He's got too many little hurts. He's got too many hurts, period. Too many owies. He's Big Owie because he's always injured, and you can't trade an injured player. But whether they get a prospect who is a positional player or a top prospect who is a pitcher, they've got to go for value. You got to go for value when you're rebuilding and you have all these openings and all these spots. But Bob Nightingale says that's the name that they were talking about. John Heyman, our guy at 9 o'clock, says nothing is hot or imminent. So we'll wait and see. I wouldn't get too worked up over Blade Tidwell's future.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7:25 on Mully and Haw. As the Bears concluded their rookie minicamp Sunday, what, if anything, made a lasting impression from any of the video or audio reports you saw from Halas Hall?
Well, talking to some people who were up there watching practice, I think it was interesting to hear how fluid and natural Ozzie Chiapillo looked at left tackle and how willing he is to try that, and it sounds like he's feeling very comfortable there. Now, obviously, nothing means anything until you have a pass rusher coming at you like Montez Sweat in the middle of a scrimmage or something like that. But I do think that was good. He did look the part on some of the video clips. Did not make it up to practice, but he looked very fluid and big. The other guy, Kyle Manungai, made a very strong impression at the podium, and certainly you saw some of the video from practice, and he is a guy that's smallish but certainly quick and is only a 4'6 guy, but he's an easy guy to root for because of all that he has overcome and succeeded, and he's produced nonetheless. And also, Eric Bieniemy, whew, they're not going to let that guy in Hard Knocks.
For me, it was Burton coming out and saying that he's going to make teams pay for passing up on him. That's what stood out to me over the weekend.
And he got hurt the one day. He caught a touchdown in a 7-on-7 drill, and it looked like he hurt his side. And then, you know, you were kind of like holding your breath a little. Is this guy going to be okay? And yeah. Then he was back the next day. So that was good to see. That was a good one. Who was Newman? Luke Newman,
the sixth rounder from Michigan State.
I thought he did a really good job at the podium. I liked what he had to say about the coaching that he's getting, about different guys he's played against, different impressions he had of some of the Big Ten guys, and I guess he went up to Managa and said to him, "Hey, you really killed us that game." Like the guy totally had 149 yards or something, and scored a touchdown and really did the business against Michigan State. So I just thought that was kind of cool, that when you see people that kind of, you know, are just enjoying themselves and talking about it. I guess the big takeaway on the field was the way that Eric Bieniemy was going after people and yelling. I saw a couple of, you know, catch upfield, you know. Get your head up. Look where you go. Like, I like that. It was real football-y. So that was kind of cool. Yeah. You know, look, it's just a first impression, but it looks like a group that has got a lot of speed and is going to be able to kind of help them take another step with that offense. Love that. All right. We got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Tonight is the NBA Draft Lottery, the Cooper Flag sweepstakes, if you will, hashtag capture the flag. And the Bulls will send Matas Buzelis to the South Loop with their 1.7% chance of getting that number one overall pick. Will you watch? Any gut feeling?
I will watch. Actually, I'll be monitoring it as I'm doing the Chicago lead and work. That's at 6 o'clock, I think it starts, right?
It starts at 6.
So we'll be on the air opposite. Yep. If they win the lottery, that's going to be a fun final half hour on CHSN. So looking forward to that in real time. That'll be fun. I don't have high expectations. I do not want to be a buzzkill, as I was accused of being on the text line. I'm trying hard not to be. But 1.7% chance does not make me feel like it's appointment anything, except for... It's an appointment to be disappointed. I hope it happens. It would be great if it does. If they find a way into the top four, my goodness, I think that's worthy of celebration. If they're in the top 10 tomorrow morning, I think it will be positive and encouraging. But I have zero expectations that they're going to be anywhere other than where they mathematically should be. And gut feeling, I think the Charlotte Hornets are going to win. And I think they're going to draft Cooper Flagg, and he's going to go from Duke to Charlotte. And it's going to be a North Carolina happening, and this is going to be a North Carolina story, and they need to change the subject in North Carolina. So it'll be good news away from Bill Belichick and focus on Cooper Flagg. That's my gut feeling tonight.
See, his girl lost Miss Maine yesterday.
Yeah, she wasn't Miss
third.
Maine. Yeah. And in a rebuttal from the University of North Carolina, who put out a statement saying that the girlfriend is in fact welcome to events at the North Carolina Football Facility.
That came out Friday quickly.
Facility, right? So it's really interesting. I'm predicting, if we're into predicting, that Bill Belichick will never coach a game at North Carolina. He will opt out of that contract and he will do something else. So there's a prediction we can hold on to. Was the draft lottery tonight? I'll be really disappointed.
That's the best prediction of the show.
I'll be really disappointed if the math holds up and they draft 12th, because as fun as the last like month of the bowl season was, and we all got to go to games, the United Center was rocking, and that was a good time, it won't feel really good drafting 12th after what happened, right? It doesn't feel good today, and you don't know when they're draft. I think the Bulls are going to end up in the top eight. The math's going to go their way. They're going to go top eight. I think Utah is going to win the lottery, though. The Jazz will be the number one.
They're the Jazz. Yeah. Are we going to worry about what their nickname was?
No, the Mammoths or the Woolly Mammoths. Or whatever they are now. It's a cool logo, bad
Woolly
name.
Mammoths.
The Woolly Mammoths.
That's funny. I'm going to watch. I'm all fired up for it. I just hope that they do move up to a point where we're not getting a bunch of people, as we did earlier, complaining, they should have lost. Why didn't they lose? Why didn't they go ahead and try to lose? I think they should get a reward from the gods of basketball because they tried to finish out the season and didn't just try.
See, I like that idea.
I like that idea
because you're right. We're going to get the. Dustin was already kind of hinting at that. Well, the last month of the season was fun, but maybe it was too much fun because they won too often and now they should have lost.
Right.
I hate that.
Yeah,
I know you do.
I know you do. That's why you should be cheering. That's why I'm saying it.
You,
like me, should be cheering for them to do better than anticipated.
I should.
Because it will pay off then that they managed to win. It'd be a nice little payoff.
I don't want to be hurt again.
Oh, that's okay. You can be hurt again. You know what's going to happen? Like, let's say they don't move or something. They barely, get out of the bottom, whatever. They're supposed to pick 12. So let's say that they don't finish ninth. They need somebody Mata style to take a little bit of a unexpected dive in the draft. And maybe it's to their benefit.
It could be.
When they had the Patrick Williams pick, that didn't work out too well for them. So if they had picked a little bit later, they would have done a lot better. So let's go with that idea.
If they come in here tomorrow and we're talking about them picking in the top four. That would be exciting.
That would be unbelievable.
Would it? Because this is supposed to be a three-person draft. And it would be so like the Patrick Williams draft if they get like number four.
Well stated. But I think, Queen is still our guy, right? So if they get number four, then they're going to get Derrick Queen. If they get number seven, they probably get Derrick Queen. If they get nine, maybe they get Derrick Queen.
Yeah.
So that reminds me of a young Moses Malone.
Thank you, Kendall. We've got to talk to him tomorrow. 815. We just got a Pope, David. Dare to dream a little.
There you go.
I like it.
Let's have some fun with it. Yeah, I do.
All right.
I hope they do better than
my enthusiasm is stoked now.
Look at you. There he goes.
You got me going. It's a caffeine, but thank you.
Yeah,
you know?
All of it. Your enthusiasm, a.k.a. one sip of coffee, was all that.
But you made a good point. You made a good point. I like to be consistent. I try to be consistent.
Yeah.
And consistency means if I was rooting for them to win and enjoying that during the end of the season, the last month.
Then let's get a payoff for that.
Because that would make all of that stuff worthwhile.
I agree.
More worthwhile and defensible. So, yeah, okay, I'm on board.
Let's do that.
That was easy.
Let's do that. 312-644-6767. We'll be back with your phone calls on Chicago Sports Radio 67 to the score.
This will be pitch number 77 for Horton. Here it comes. Line drive caught on one knee. Behind third. By Birdie. That's out number three. Lindor stranded at second base.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. There it is. That's the great clip of the week. It's brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's gonna be great. Kate Horton striking out Frankie Lindor, who is an outstanding baseball player.
Oh my gosh!
You really.
He one had of the biggest
takeaways
Saturday.
From the weekend was that guy's good.
Oh, one of the big takeaways from the weekend is that Mets lineup is potent,
very powerful.
I know that you didn't need to see that for confirmation.
You knew that,
but having the Cubs go through that, it reminded you just how dangerous this team is. And so you have at the top of their order, Lindor, and Alonso, and Soto, and goodness sakes.
And, you know, we had a question this morning that we chose not to use for some reason, but Kevin has the same thoughts. Kevin is in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, so, you know, I love my guy Destino, but I don't even want Big Red in here to pinch hit. So if this is the year that we care so much about every game is – sacred. If you're going to need a weekend of a DH, Moises Ballesteros hasn't been brought up once. Who has a better chance of getting a hit? The best left-handed hitter in minor league baseball, or this guy with a 60-year-old softball swing? He's washed. I love him. He had a great career. No disrespect. He's done.
You're talking about Justin Turner.
Justin Turner. And his Rob Mikowiak, like, hard-hit ball to third base. Give me
a blast from the past.
He's washed. He can't run. He can't field. So what is the point? Here's my point at this point. If you need a DH, let Nicky Lopez play third and bring up Ballesteros. Do something, because those two, Birdie and Turner in the lineup, that's 12 outs to begin with. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and cry about losing the Mets. I was surprised with some of the picks on Friday. They haven't lost a series at home. They're 14-3 at home. I don't know why everyone thought they were going to win. And sweeping is hard. I will take 2 out of 3 from the Sox, 2 out of 3 from Colorado, 2 out of 3 from Colorado again. Because did you see what happened Saturday and Sunday? Saturday, the Padres beat the Rockies 23-0.
The Marlins, yesterday, you mean the Marlins.
The
Marlins.
Yesterday, the Rockies. The Marlins. So here's the point. Just win series. The bullpen is horrible. But, like, give me a break. Turner has to be DFA'd. He's horrible. I don't need mascots. Mascots are for high school football teams. Thank guys.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, I don't feel that strongly about Justin Turner. I think he has had a couple hits in the last week that were big ones, but I understand the rancor over his presence. If Ian Happ goes on the IL,
that's what the question was, I think.
Then I think you bring up Ballesteros.
That was the question that wasn't used, was if he goes on the IL. And could you, if you want to be polite about it, could you just create a Justin Turner pulled muscle? Let him sit down.
What's Brujan's status? Does he have more value than Justin Turner? I mean, that's a debate for another day. But I think that if Ian Happ goes on the IL.
But all these guys, rather than cut someone, is what the point was.
Right.
You could just create some
injury,
pulled muscle, and then bring up Ballesteros. Let's see what
Ian Happ has a real pulled muscle.
Well, I know.
And if he goes on the injured list,
yes.
Then I put Suzuki in left and I bring up Ballesteros to let him hit. And if he's cooking, then you keep him. Then you figure out a way. You figure it out. What a great problem that would be.
Oh,
if the kid comes up and in 2 weeks is too good of a hitter to keep out of the lineup, wow.
Then you use him as your pinch hitter.
Yeah.
I understand, like, your argument for Justin Turner up to this point has been, and I know we got to get to a break, but it's been that if you need a pinch hitter when you get to the playoffs, there's your guy. I'm not sure you can get that far.
I understand.
With him.
They also paid him. They invested $6 million, but I understand why that just shouldn't matter. I have more of an open mind, but I think it's an obvious topic.
All right. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.